Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a getaway Friday night, January the 26th, 2024. 12 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Well, Matt, we had a humdinger of a first hour. Fill people in on what happened in hour number one.
You know, honestly, I'm not even sure. We had Opelkovi on the line, and then at that point, it was just nonstop.
Nonstop entertainment.
Absolutely.
Now tell people about the miracles that she experienced.
She said her pipes froze, and she had a toilet that was full, and she couldn't flush it. And then all of a sudden, she heard some I don't know rumblings, and then all of a sudden, she had running water, but only in her her bathroom, and not in the other one.
Don't you like the term commode?
It's a good one.
Now tell people about Groundhog Day a week from today.
So on Groundhog Day, we're going to have Chad Clark there with some live entertainment. The groundhog is going to pick up a piece of pizza, and under the piece of pizza is going to say either 6 more weeks of winter or an early spring. And Mary Ellen Withrow is going to be there to sign it with her Guinness Book of World Records signature. But the biggest thing of the day is who is Warren Groundhog Harding? Nobody knows besides Scott.
And the groundhog.
8:45
that morning, we'll find out. Now, if you guess the correct person, you'll win a prize. Could be a pair of tickets to see Chad Clark at the Palace in April, big country music show. And we've also got a possible delivery that day, a special delivery method for the groundhog.
I think it'll be good.
It's going to be entertaining. Again, phone lines are open here tonight, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Now, we spent a lot of time today talking about should real groundhogs be used on Groundhog Day. What is the consensus on this? Now, PETA does not want them used.
Correct. I mean, personally, I don't really see all that big of a deal with it because, like, it's not like they're just finding a wild groundhog and then taking it. The groundhog that they have has been, I assume, handled by people before. I assume it's comfortable with people. It came from a groundhog farm or a farm of some kind at the very least. So, I mean, I just think that it's probably overblown.
Where do you keep a groundhog all year?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, I don't know. What do you do the other 364 days of the year with a groundhog?
I mean, you could let it go. And you could just rent it for a day and then, you know.
I guess I just don't understand why people are so beholden to this tradition. I mean, if it goes on, it goes on. If it doesn't, you know, I guess it's just the fervor that people have for this thing.
I mean, I don't know how big of a deal it necessarily is. Like I said, I mean, like, I grew up knowing about, like, Buckeye Chuck and Groundhog Day and, you know, Punxsutawney Phil, but I never went to a Groundhog Day anything. It was never really all that intriguing to me. So I'm not 100% sure why it obsessed people so much.
I mean, does it really matter if you flip a coin or have a groundhog?
I mean, you're predicting the weather in a way that's not predicting the weather anyways, so...
It's different. Go ahead, caller.
Have you ever heard of having a groundhog as a pet?
No, I never have.
My great uncle, he was a farmer, and his neighbor, there was one, the mother was killed, so he actually kind of went in, and there was one that he, before its eyes were open, that he rescued, because, I mean, it would have died. So anyway, he fed it, you know, milk, and then it was, when it opened its eyes, you know, that was the first thing that it saw was him. So he raised it, and the story is that it would follow him around. He had, like, a little doghouse out for it out in the yard, and it stayed in the yard, followed him around.
Aren't you surprised, though, that people care this much? I mean, it's one morning a year.
As far as PETA?
No, I think PETA gets the bad rap here because they're the ones trying to stop it. But there are people who obviously don't want it stopped. Are you surprised that people care this much about one morning out of their out of the year?
Well, I mean, as I went on earlier this morning about the history and the tradition and the culture and all that stuff, but it's just one little thing. And so many aspects of our tradition and culture have been chipped away over the years, and this one is just one more example of kind of a baseless attack, and I think people are kind of fed up with that.
But what do you think PETA's point is, if there is no baseline in it?
Well, to them, you know, they're radical on that side. So, you know, they don't want, you know, any animals to be just like zoos. I mean, they're opposed to zoos, but zoos serve a valid purpose in educating the public firsthand on the beauty of these creatures that inhabit our Earth. And I think that that in itself spawns a lot of conservation, you know, thoughts in the minds of the public. You know, if you see and you admire an animal up close that you would otherwise never see other than if you were watching a program on television or reading a National Geographic magazine, you know, it does do a lot to help conservation efforts. And like I mentioned earlier, that was very apparent in the story of the American bison, you know, and how it was saved from the brink of extinction. But, you know, PETA has its own where it's completely radical on, you know, on its interpretation of how things should be. But again, you know, they are selective in their outrage and who they direct it on the global scale. And to be more fair, and I think to go, you know, that is, if you look into, like I said, the East Asian, you know, dog meat markets and even some of the, you know, animal furs and stuff, if you look at how they raise fox and ermine and different animals for the fur, well, there's more of a valid complaint against that and how those animals are treated than a groundhog that was raised in captivity and is handled for like a minute on February 2nd.
Yeah, but isn't everything in life that way, though? I mean, we want to get rid of tobacco, but clearly people who go out and murder are a bigger threat. But that really doesn't stop the people who want to get rid of tobacco. And you know, like mothers against drunk driving. Now, certainly you don't want people to go out and drive drunk, but you also don't want people to be abused, beat up. But they don't bother with the abuse, they bother with people who are driving drunk. I think you just pick your causes, I think. And I think that's what PETA has done here.
Well, it never ends. That's the thing. That's what's clear from our history over the years, is that if some group, no matter how numerous they are, if somebody cries foul and makes a big stink, you got one person out of a crowd of 100, and that one person will get their way because they scream loud, or the loudest. If everybody else just stands there with their hands in their pockets and their heads down, then that one person is going to get the attention. And that's kind of been the case for many, many issues in our society, especially over the last 100 years.
Well, it would just seem to me, it reminds me a lot of the NRA situation. Now, a lot of people try to vilify a lot of NRA members and the NRA as a whole, and a lot of them probably are not the best spokespeople for the NRA and do not support the best causes, but a lot of people do in that group. And I think PETA is probably the same way. When you have a group that has as many thousands of members as they have, I mean, there might be a few that have radicalized ideas, but I don't see where this Groundhog Day, and, you know, to me it doesn't matter one way or another, but I just don't see why them talking about Groundhog Day is such a radicalization. And I don't think the media, the general media, saw it as a radicalization. I think they ran the story. I mean, if they thought it was a real off-the-wall thing, I don't think they would have covered it like they did.
Well, they also didn't receive, they're not receiving a lot of opposition. You know, I think Matt read the website. Was that the website for WMRN or Punxsutawney earlier this morning when they made the joke and then you guys said that this isn't the way to handle it?
No, that's from Punxsutawney. And it is. All they say is, this is a day to take everything a little less seriously and break up the winter monotony.
Yeah, so they're kind of, it seems like they're just ignoring it. And that's, but if they took a defiant stance, how would some of these radicals and PETA respond? They would probably be more militant in their reaction. I mean, they are. I mean, they've done different over the years, you know, different sabotage episodes, and, you know, there was a, I don't know how much they do it nowadays, but back in the 90s, you know, when fur was more in fashion, you know, they used to jump out in people and throw red paint, a whole bucket of red paint on them. Do you remember that?
I do, but you know what's interesting about that, now that you bring that up, that now, boy, 99% of people wouldn't wear fur. But at the time that was going on, a lot of people had fur, and a lot of people found what PETA was doing to be very bad. Now, I would say the majority of society probably agrees with them.
But they've just moved on. So they moved on from, I think, more of a valid argument against, like, the fur industry, and now they've moved to what I think is a ridiculous argument against Groundhog Day. So then if the proponents of maintaining the tradition that has been, again, goes all the way back to Germany and then the Pennsylvania Dutch or the Pennsylvania Germans, and, you know, in this country for hundreds of years, if they win that, then what will it be? You know, it's just, oh, well, it's cool to have a dog or a cat. These animals, you know, are descendants from wild animals, and they should be in nature, and no human should have the right to, you know, keep them in captivity in their houses. It sounds ridiculous to us now, but I don't know. I mean, it's a slippery slope, as they say, and they never stop. There's always going to be a new outrage. It's just right now, at this time of the year, it's the groundhog, unfortunately.
You know, though, but I think a lot of people look at things that people get outraged at, and they say, it depends on what group you stand at. You know, a lot of people certainly are outraged with a lot of things in the political world, and people go get over that, and some people don't want to get over that. It's just hard for me to say, well, that's trivial and that's not. I think it's trivial to somebody who doesn't like it. I think to the person who wants to change it, it's probably not so trivial. There are a bazillion things in the world that people get ticked off about, and I just don't know how you prioritize them. And I also, it's strange to me that nobody can get together on this. I mean, you know, if you have a valid rebuttal that the groundhogs are not being endangered, and that there is no cruelty there, and they live a wonderful life in a sanctuary, why not say that? I would get out in front of that before it was on every television station and in every newspaper across the country.
Well, I agree, but there isn't an effective counterculture. Our culture is shaped by media, when these media outlets are giving a platform and a bullhorn to these groups, then it's very easy to shape public opinion. Even if they did try to make a statement, is it going to be broadcast to the masses?
Well, I think in this case it would, because USA Today says they tried to reach out to them, and they would not respond.
Well, I mean, I think that they should defend it. I would just, you know, be firm and resolute, and again, make sure that you are dealing with reputable, licensed, you know, animal.
You know, it's interesting, because we've been dealing with this in Marion politics here, that yes, it is, it's, now do people, if you don't live in the city, is that trivial to you? Maybe it is, I don't know. Are there certain aspects of the things that we cover that are trivial? That maybe, again, that's person to person, but it's always better to tell your own story. But if somebody chooses not to do that, then they jump on you because they say, well, you're dealing in supposition. You're dealing in gossip. Well, listen, we tried to get you. We tried to get your opinion. We tried to see what it was all about. You won't tell us. Now, if somebody said something about me and I knew that a publication was going to go to print with it, I think I'd try to get out ahead of it, or at least I'd give them a quote.
Exactly. I agree. You should be firm and resolute and have convictions and not cower from the, you know, threat that somebody is going to argue with you or, you know, make a spectacle. And unfortunately, people don't do that. Most of the time, they do end up caving and cowering to the pressure, you know, instead of standing up for what they believe in.
This, to me, just reminds me a lot of Watergate. Because it would seem to me that when this became a story, which basically the story here, it's not even a negative story, to be honest. The story is PETA doesn't want Punxsutawney Phil to use the groundhog anymore, or Punxsutawney Pennsylvania to use the groundhog. They want them to use a coin. They're offering them a coin. That's the story. And PETA goes to Punxsutawney Phil people, and they say nothing. And I don't know why they couldn't just say, thanks for the coin. Our groundhog lives a good life. We could show you that if you would like to see it. And all is well. And then that would have been printed. But they didn't do that. So it's a little Watergate-ish, because if Nixon in the beginning, when he was accused of giving the orders for people to bug the Watergate Hotel, if he would have just said, yeah, I was aware of it, it wouldn't have been good in the moment, but he certainly wouldn't have had to leave office. It was the constant not answering, denial, cover-up that caused the problem there. And you know what? I read the story and I go, well, is this groundhog living a wonderful life? Why wouldn't you say that?
So who's deep throat in this groundhog drama?
You know, I imagine it's Punxsutawney Phil. Wherever he is.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, again, they should. You should, you know, defend your beliefs and your convictions. If you don't, if you just ignore the situation, then it looks bad. And I've said that, you know, locally too.
And ultimately, what is funny about this to me is the whole subject. Now, I could lay blame on everybody in this, because the fact that this has even become a thing is strange to me. It's one morning a year. It's a groundhog that doesn't really tell you the weather. It is an organization that has a lot of members, a charitable organization like PETA, that's spending money and time to try to take it out, but yet it's organizations that are strictly putting this on at this point for financial gain. You can guarantee that if there was no financial gain from these organizations that are putting this on, whatever they may be, that they would not be doing it year after year after year. They're not doing it for the kindness of their heart.
No, but there is a... there's a market in the hearts of especially in Pennsylvania and the Midwest, for, you know, those traditions. And they're based in our cultural history of the people that live in those areas. So we wouldn't dare try to, and they don't. You don't see the complaints against, you know, by these organizations against other cultures and some of their older traditions and practices. They're more reluctant because of how it looks politically.
I guess so, to me, what is always strange is in situations like this, and there are a thousand of them, it's not only the groundhog, but it's always, okay, you don't like that somebody wants to change it. Okay, why? And the answer, well, it's always been that way. Why bother it now? I don't like that answer. I think there should be a little better answer than that.
Well, and I guess another retort, you don't have to participate in that event. If you're opposed to it, then don't participate in it. But that's not what we do. We not only demand I don't want to participate in it, but I want to stop you from doing it. And
but isn't that cancel culture that we're in?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how we got there, but that's what we do now.
It's very destructive, you know. And it doesn't end. That's the problem. It doesn't stop.
But we never go after the people who are trying to do it. I don't think PETA is really the driver of the cancel culture here. I would blame this on the and I wouldn't blame it on the groundhog. I blame this on the organizations that are not putting a stop to it by saying, listen, we do this well. We are doing this. We are not doing what you say. That's a good way to put anything to bed.
I agree 100%. Now, it makes it more difficult when you have... Now, I'm not saying you, Scott, as a journalist and a member of the media, but, you know, what percentage of the media outlets in this country are owned by corporations?
Oh, and 90%.
Exactly. So, 90% of the media in this country is owned by, like, five companies. So, if you have a position in the editorial board and the ownership that goes one way, then it's going to be very difficult because you're going to have all these media outlets that are going to be speaking out against you. So it does take a very strong, resolute person that is solid in their convictions and can relay things clearly and honestly to have any chance at combating the image that's being portrayed by the media.
I want to get Matt in on this conversation in a second, but it's interesting because something you just said was fascinating. This morning, when I booked PETA, now, first of all, I can guarantee you now they can prove me wrong. They've still got a week. But there is no other organization in this area that would book PETA on their show right now because they would be afraid of the backlash. Because they know that the popular opinion in Marion, Ohio, most likely is pro-groundhog. Now, I don't do it because I'm anti-groundhog. I do it because it's a story of interest. Now, we have the man on this morning from PETA. It's a national story. I think we're irrelevant if we don't cover it, especially since we have a famous groundhog in this area who's been a part of this in the last 2 years. So I did not know the guy this morning was going to talk about Buckeye Chuck. The only thing we talked about was talking about Punxsutawney Phil. So he comes on. It's a live interview. You can't stop it. He gets into Buckeye Chuck, and we're off and running. Now, I bet that ticked a lot of people off today. Now, if you listen to that interview, I took no opinion at all, and I've not taken any opinion in any of these conversations. Most people in Marion, Ohio, the media we have right now, would completely ignore this story. Not that they don't see it. Not that they aren't aware of it. They just, that's too touchy for me. Well, you know what? I don't think news is always popular.
No, it's not, and I commend you for, you know, giving them a platform. But see, I am a tolerant person, tolerant of other people's ideas. And that's true tolerance, but unfortunately that's not typically how it occurs in real life. Most people who advocate all this tolerance are the most intolerant people. They want you to, you know, conform to their opinion, even though they try to, you know, espouse that, you know, they're so tolerant and everything, and then they get very angry and try to destroy people's lives and reputations, you know, based on what their opinion is if it differs from their own. But no, I think that, you know, they should be given a platform. It is relevant. It is interesting to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, or as they would say.
Maybe the groundhog's mouth.
The groundhog's mouth, right.
Well, and the thing of it is, if you heard them this morning and went, oh, what a trivial story, okay. You know, at least you heard it from them.
Exactly. No, I mean, I think it's very good. And Matt, you're a student of history. Do you know who Patrick Henry was?
No, not off the top of my head.
He was a governor of Virginia during the American Revolution.
Yep, exactly.
Also a member of the Virginia House of Burgesses, which was like their representatives at the time. And he says, I may disagree with what you have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. And that's what freedom of speech truly is, and freedom of viewpoint and opinion. I can disagree with you, but we can get along. And any infringement on your right to your belief in your speech is an infringement on mine and our collective rights. So that goes back to if PETA and people involved, if they view that as wrong, then don't participate in it.
Matt, what do you think of the whole story? Groundhog in general.
I mean, I'm not sure. I don't have any, like, I don't know, evidence proof kind of thing. But I would assume that, like I said earlier, this has probably been going on for a while. Because there's no way that, like, Pickle Tony Phil and Buckeye Chuck have been going on for years now. So there's no way that PETA's just now all of a sudden decided they wanted to declare war on the Groundhog Day celebrations. So I would assume that they probably have responded to emails from PETA in the past.
Oh, I would doubt it. I would highly doubt it.
I don't know. I was looking at articles on the internet, and the earliest article I found about Punxsutawney Phil and PETA was from 2005.
And what's their response?
I didn't read it. I don't know. I was trying to find a response that I didn't, so I didn't want to read just a whole article with no response. So I was trying to make sure there was a response, but I couldn't verify.
I would doubt that they've responded, because if they had, I think the USA Today for certain would not want to be shoddy journalism.
I don't mean like that.
Never know, I guess.
I don't mean like right now. Just like, I assume that at some point in the past, when they have been contacted by PETA, they responded with, "No, we're just going to keep the groundhog," or something along those lines. Explained it better. But, like, I feel like they, I don't know why you would try to argue with PETA. They're not gonna let it go.
Well, I don't know that the argument is with PETA. When the media outlet calls you, that's not PETA. They're just looking for your take on it so they can tell both sides of the story. Why don't they do that?
Nobody
has an answer, I guess.
Yeah, no. Again, they should put out a statement and defend their position and be honest, and that, and leave it at that. I mean, because as far as they want the groundhog to maintain tradition, PETA says no groundhog. So you're already negotiating at a standstill, because one of them is going to have to compromise a position that they don't want to give up. So when you have that, it'd be different if PETA was like, oh yeah, well, We don't care if you have a groundhog and you pick him up for a period of a minute for your ceremony, because we know he is, was raised in captivity, and he's been around humans, and he's comfortable, and he's treated well, and he lives, better than most humans. They're not saying that. They want to get rid of the groundhog, and the people in Punxsutawney do not want to give that up. So you have a negotiation that is not going to work.
But I think if you at least tried to negotiate something, that would be a much better story and reflect better on you in the national press than saying nothing.
I mean, but you see, I think the issue is that PETA doesn't want them to use a real groundhog, and they want to use a real groundhog. There's not much negotiation here, because either way, like, one of them is going to get their way. It's either you're using a real groundhog, or you're not using a real groundhog.
See, society didn't used to be... Who was the politician who... I think it was Ronald Reagan, who used to said, I'd rather get 60% of what I want than nothing at all.
But only if you were talking... The 100% is the groundhog's presence. So
that's the whole argument, is the groundhog's presence. So you can't negotiate the groundhog's presence.
Right, but see, that's the silliness of this whole thing. I don't think the groundhog is the star on Groundhog Day. I think that the weather forecast is the star, which has no basis in the groundhog at all. I think that the celebration, in Marion, it's Spam sandwiches for whatever reason. I don't think anybody's saying get rid of that. At one point, there was hot chocolate involved. I don't know if that still goes on. Punxsutawney's got a whole festival. Now, you're telling me just because you eliminate that animal, which is only there for probably 15 minutes of the entire event, that the whole event's going to collapse?
It's sacrificing history, tradition, and culture for nothing. And that's the point. It does have a basis.
Move it to the summer?
What's that?
Why don't we move Groundhog Day to the summer?
Because that wasn't how... Okay, Scott. Imagine that you traveled into the forests of Ohio in 1820. So you're one of the pioneers. You're felling all these trees, and you're putting a lot of work, and you're building a log cabin, and there's a groundhog that has a mound off in the distance, let's say a couple hundred yards. So in wintertime, you don't have a furnace. You have a little fireplace in your cabin, and you're hunkered down, right?
Right.
You're hunkered down for the winter, much like the groundhog is. And you go through, November, December, January, the worst of winter, and you're in your cabin, and you're just dreaming of spring, because spring means life, and you're going to be able to go out in the fields and plant your crops and have warm weather, and it's life. And so on February 2nd, now, they just picked Groundhog Day over the years because that they noticed that was about the time that if winter was going to be short, around February 2nd, the groundhogs, or in Germany, they use badgers. So badgers are another, animal that's going to dig a den and hibernate for the winter. So when they came over to America, there weren't that many badgers. There were a lot of groundhogs. So they would look and say, well, what's the groundhog doing? And if they saw him at the beginning of February, and he comes out, and he's out of hibernation. So he's lingering around his den, and he's out there enjoying the weather. Then they'd say, oh, the groundhog woke up, and he stayed out of his den. So it looks like it's going to be an early spring. However, if you looked across your field, and the groundhog peeked his head out, and then he said, nuts to this, it's cold. And he went back down in his den, and he hibernated for another 6 weeks. Then they'd say, it must be, it's going to be cold for another 6 weeks.
You know what's odd about this thing as you say this that I think about? Now, this week, the story was this. You know, that PETA wants Punxsutawney Phil to be retired, and they're offering them a coin if they do. Okay, that's the story. Now, whether you like that or not, whether you agree with PETA or not, whether you agree with Punxsutawney's groundhog celebration or not, that's fact. Everything that they're saying is fact. I don't think USA Today would run it if it wasn't. It's fact. Now, next Friday, every television station, every newspaper that probably ran this story will run the prediction of a groundhog about the weather that is not based in any fact, that it has no truth to it, and they'll treat it like a weather forecast. Now, think about that.
But it goes back to our shared history and our culture.
But why are we running that as a news story? The groundhog did not see his shadow this morning. We're going to have an early spring. I don't know that that's headlining the news.
No, I mean, it's carrying on that tradition of those early settlers. And, you know, it had some validity. I mean, heck, I went out last night and I heard a male wood frog chirping. It's late January. So you could say, oh, well, you know, now wood frogs are fascinating because they create like an antifreeze in their system. So they will completely freeze, essentially, and hibernate in wintertime, and then they will thaw out, and they'll come out of hibernation in the very early spring, and sometimes it's as early as late February. But I heard this thing in late January. So if I was a pioneer, you know, an old time settler, and I heard that wood frog chirping in late January, I might say, huh, either he came out of hibernation and he's really unfortunate and stupid and he's going to die, possibly, or maybe it's going to be an early spring. So these traditions, like, did evolve from a shared, you know, cultural experience people.
Here's my final word on this. I will tell you this, and now I have no way to prove this, but if in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, if another group got a groundhog, because heaven knows there's no copyright on this thing, and started running the same type of thing, putting more money into it, getting more sponsorships than Punxsutawney Phil gets, Punxsutawney Phil would be, the Punxsutawney Phil group would be ticked. Now why? This isn't Russia. If you can put two gas stations on a corner, they'd be ticked at that. You know, it's the trivial nature of the whole thing. And that's the silliness of this whole thing, is that what is trivial to who? Now, to PETA, it's about waking an animal out of hibernation. To the people putting this on, it's financial, it's tradition, maybe. If somebody else wanted to start their own tradition in the same city, it'll get hated on a little bit, because you don't want people taking from your organization. It's all just a big spiral. It's all what ticks who off. It's strange in that way.
It is, but you know, don't participate. You know, let people, for the most part, unless they're harming somebody else, you know, let them do what they want to do, you know. And we used to have that kind of respect in a much greater degree, but now we don't. We have cancel culture. And everybody, you know, minority outrage over some issue, you know, whoever screams the loudest, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease. And you have people that are afraid to speak out for what they believe and try to defend their position. So, you know, it's just another battlefront on the cultural war.
It's very interesting.
It really is. I mean, but it'll be something else. If they win this, it will be, mark my words, you want to talk about predictions, I don't know if I'll be Opal, but I can tell you that...
Usher Commode.
My commode is fine. My commode is...
Now, I heard that if you flush your commode after 6 o'clock, that's 6 more weeks of winter. But if you flush it before 6 o'clock, it's an early spring.
I guess it depends on the load.
And the load is quite big at this point, I understand.
If
Opal's kitchen sink, if her pipes unfreeze in the kitchen before next Friday, it means early spring, if not 6 more weeks of winter.
Yeah, I think that would be probably pretty accurate.
I think it'd be more accurate than the groundhog at this point.
Probably would.
Thanks for calling.
All right, have a good one.
All right, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 52 minutes talking about a groundhog.
I mean, I guess people cared.
Well, and that's it. If you care, we'll talk about it. 740-383-9944. That's what this station is all about. Talking about what's on people's mind. And if you care about this, good for you.
I think that you could pull off a Groundhog Day ceremony without a groundhog. I just think it would be a little bit difficult, because the whole basis of Groundhog Day has always been the same thing, to where, you know, the groundhog, if it sees its shadow, if it doesn't see its shadow, kind of thing. So when you take the Groundhog Day out of the thing where the groundhog determines the weather and whether or not it sees its shadow, but there's not really much of a reason to go to the event anymore. There's going to be no groundhog to determine the weather.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting that there is no determination of the weather? It's all baloney.
Yeah, I know, but like...
So why are you going anyway?
People just like to do it, I suppose. Why do people go and watch movies?
Well, people like to do a lot of things that maybe they shouldn't be doing.
I don't know.
I just don't understand the outrage, I guess. If there's such an outrage, deal with the people. Don't get angry and, hissy fit about this. Call up PETA and tell them why you want to keep it and why it is not endangering the groundhog.
I don't...
Speak now or forever hold your peace, like they say in the wedding vows.
Well, one of these days I'll give that a try so they can get, you know, and just hang up. I don't think you'd get very far doing that.
Well, I think
I honestly don't think you... I think PETA would probably just hang up on you.
Who?
PETA.
For what?
If you called PETA to argue the point that you think that having the groundhog is better than not having a groundhog, I think they'd probably just hang up on you.
Well, you gotta have some facts. I don't think they'd hang up if you had facts.
I mean, the only fact they have is that groundhogs hibernate in the winter. And these ones come from groundhog farms.
You know what's interesting? I don't know where the first groundhog event was. Maybe it was Punxsutawney, but regardless, every other event, all Idaho, wherever else, really, they're just copying the thing. Get yourself a groundhog, pretend whether it sees its shadow or not, and then tell people it's going to be 6 more weeks of winter or not.
Yeah?
Well, that's it. Take somebody's idea and just, I guess, steal it. Somebody should have copyrighted that. We wouldn't have this trouble.
I mean, people do it all the time. Like, you could go back to the Romans. They have been copying people's designs, improving them, and then using them forever. And then you can go all the way up to modern-day times to where, like, I could find... I don't know what brand your flannel is, but I guarantee you I could find a flannel that looks exactly like it in a different brand at a different store.
Well, I think that's a little different, though, than more time. I think that's a little apples and oranges. Like, here, I know there's a groundhog celebration with a real groundhog here in town. I would never do that, because that just looks like I'm ripping that off. What's the point of that? I don't understand that.
It's popular. It's a thing people would come to.
Well, is it? I don't know. It's not as popular as it once was, I don't think. I imagine more people attended this 20 years ago than they do now, and probably a lot more people were attending it 30 years than are now. I think society... Do you think kids care? You think there's a lot of kids over at the groundhog thing?
I mean, I would say that kids probably care more than adults.
Oh, no, that is an older skewing event.
I don't know about all that.
Most kids don't even know it's Groundhog Day. Carrington didn't even know there was a Groundhog Day movie.
Groundhog Day is just... I don't know. Just like Valentine's Day. It doesn't need to be there.
Waste now you say it needs to be eliminated?
Well, I mean, if we're eliminating things that don't need to be there, I mean, Valentine's Day is a valid option.
But that's after a saint. I mean, there's some validity in that.
I mean, if you look at the story of St. Valentine, he was a Roman Catholic priest who married troops because troops weren't supposed to be married.
But it's interesting
but
to me.
There's like, no validity to that story. Like, there's nobody who has record of it.
But like in society, we have the Easter Bunny. We don't have the Easter Bunny of Ohio, the Easter Bunny of Pennsylvania, the Easter Bunny of New York. When it comes to Santa Claus, we don't have Santa Claus of California, Santa Claus of Texas, Santa Claus of Florida. We have Santa Claus. With this groundhog, everybody's got their own.
I mean,
why not just have a national groundhog?
I mean, yeah, that's kind of right, but it's also like New Year's Eve. We have New Year's Eve, and New Year's Eve is the same everywhere. It's roughly the same. Everybody has a ball drop, but like in Ohio, it's a little bit different than it is in Connecticut.
New Year's Eve celebration is more.
To my understanding, in Connecticut.
But the New Year's Eve tradition is different everywhere. They drop a ball in New York. They drop popcorn? Well, they used to drop a popcorn thing here. I guess they're not pretending that anymore.
Okay, so we just make the New Year's thing uniform then?
No, I'm saying these groundhog things are uniform. So why isn't there just a national one?
Then I don't know. I'm just confused now. I just gave an example as to
that's not uniform. I'm okay with not uniform. Don't be uniform. That's what I'm saying. If you're not going to have a national thing, a national groundhog, this is the one that's going to give you the weather prediction. Boom. Then why? Why don't you do it differently everywhere?
I mean, I assume they do.
They don't.
I mean, I don't know exactly what WMRNs look like, but I was doing some looking around at Punxsutawney Phil's, and they dress up in like they got whole outfits they wear.
Well, they do a bigger thing, but
Punxsutawney Phil is, he lives there year round, and like things like that. Buckeye Chuck is apparently rented from a farm every year.
So should one of these, does that matter then? Should one go away? Should one not?
I mean, I think that if you were going to use a groundhog, it's better to probably not rent one. I think you should probably take care of it and actually make sure it's taken care of. That kind of thing.
It all ends up being a moot point, really, on the whole. People are going to do what they want to do, and PETA's going to do what they want to do, and there you go.
Yeah?
Whoa! So happy Groundhog Day, I guess.
I remember Groundhog Day being this controversial.
Oh, now it's controversy, yes.
I think everything's a controversy now.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think it's fine, I guess, on the whole. People, do what you want. You know, I do fall in that. Do what you want, but you also then have to say, PETA, do what you want.
See, I think it's, I don't know, I've always gone more of a you do what you want to do so long as it doesn't prohibit me from doing what I want to do and vice versa. I'll do what I want to do so long as it doesn't prohibit you from doing what you want to do.
But sometimes those things overlap and we did not do the top 10 list. So we got to do it now.
Alrighty, sounds good to me.
Alright, top 10 list tonight from the home office in Columbus, Ohio. Proof that Congress is busy, the top 10 holidays declared for January the 26th. Today.
Very nice, look at that.
Okay, proof that Congress is busy, the top 10 holidays declared for January the 26th. Number 10, National Fun at Work Day. Number 9, National Peanut Brittle Day.
Peanut brittle, pretty good.
Number 8, International Environmental Education Day.
That one's good.
Number 7, International Custom Officials Day. Number 6, National Spouse Day. Oh, Lord. Well, that's going to be several for different people.
Yep.
Number 5, Dental Drill Appreciation Day.
Dental Drill?
Dental Drill. Number 4, National Big Garden Birdwatch Day. Number 3, National Big Wig Day. Number 2, National Diane Day.
These are some pretty riveting holidays we got going on.
And the number 1 proof, bit of proof, that Congress is busy, top 10 holidays declared for January 26th, National Green Juice Day. And there is our top 10 list for the night. We got it in the final second.
Fantastic top 10 list.
We'll be back next week, Groundhog Day and all, controversy and all. For Matt Morgan, Scott Spears, heading for the dugout.
Are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes?
And of course, the audience would yell yes.
and then I would have to go in with the same line. Well, get ready, because it's now time to play Bozo's Grand Prize. Well, one day, I don't know, I was feeling devilish, and I went, are you